Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling, married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family.
Women.
Philosophy.
Politics.
History.
People.
Money.
Pop culture.
Kids.
Fighting.
Business.
Life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, what every man over 35 needs to know to not become a sleepy, pillowy shadow of himself.
And what the hell is going on in Joe Biden's house anyway?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike. Jones, imagine, if you will, that for all of recorded known human history, men have just been fouling everything up, and we just need to get out of our own way already. Is that something you'll even entertain?
I would have to say no.
What if dudes have been the problem since the beginning?
I don't see how that's the case. Quite frankly.
You won't entertain that at all?
Well, no. I mean, look at what men have done over the years. Men invent most of the products that we use today.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
I gave
you the bait, and you're running with it.
We've assembled this wide variety of political structures that we work our way through. We've tried to organize. I would have to say, even though it's not perfect,
this civilization is a good one, and men are the ones who made it, is what you're saying.
I don't think men should run away from what they have been doing since the beginning of time.
I read an article this week in a super new agey website called themindunleashed.com. I love that kind of, you know, jerk story type stuff. I shared it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/jonesandmike, and the gist of the article is that the movie Arrival basically saying that women should rule everything, because if women ruled everything would be perfect.
And I cannot get on board with that.
In this article, it starts off, and I'm going to quote here. Since I saw the film Arrival a couple of months ago, I can't get it out of my head. I haven't seen the movie, by the way. This is me saying this. I haven't seen Arrival yet. So I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of this article. You can go to our Facebook page or go to themindunleashed.com if you're willing to let someone actually see you go to a website like that. I don't care, so I go. But I'll continue. Reading from the article. It is changing the way I think, much in the same way that the protagonist's worldview changes as she learns the language of the aliens she is studying. The film outlines both the possibility for and the necessity of international and intergalactic cooperation, as well as introducing a new orientation to time that is non-linear. Let me get to the gist here.
Please.
The best part of the article is right here in these three paragraphs as follows. Arrival is one of the first blockbuster films to expand beyond linearity, duality, and the dominant masculine paradigm of us versus them. This is the article saying this. I have been waiting a long time for this, longing for it with all my heart. I thought Avatar might be going somewhere until the spiritual natives conclude the only way to stop the greedy military is to wage a war. Go figure. There's a popular maxim that the only way opposing forces will unify is to share a common enemy. This idea only exists within the dualistic masculine frame of competition and aggression. So in Arrival, it teaches us that the brilliance of a non-zero-sum game, where everyone benefits by working together. It is one of the first major films brave enough to promote the feminine paradigm of inclusion. Everyone gets to matter, Jones. There are no good guys or bad guys. No one wins or loses.
And that,
end quote.
That is the line that sticks in my craw. the very end of it. You go through all that whole preamble.
Sounds good. And
it's fine. I don't think it really resonates. I don't think it's realistic that we live in a world where no one's competing and setting up borders and protecting borders and invading borders. But the idea that the world is missing this feminine inclusion, that was tough for me to take, because I have to be honest with you, I don't find women to be that inclusive. We repeat that line time and time again. Men are Neanderthals. We go around, punching walls and, knocking down buildings and doing ridiculous
other
things.
Other men do. We don't.
Women are trying to bring everything together. But I have to say, and this is especially after my working in a female-dominated environment for the last few years, I have really found that women are often cunning, vengeful.
Yeah.
They're out for others' destruction.
Oh, really? The politics of personal destruction is what they practice. You've seen this.
Absolutely. So this notion that all of a sudden, if we put all of the women to the front of the line, that everyone would just reason with each other and talk in hushed tones.
Yeah, they're really some of the meanest people I've ever met.
They can be. They can be.
I'm talking about the women in your office specifically.
And I'm not even saying it to defend them. I'm just saying, and women in general can be vicious. But they do have that vicious competitive streak. They don't like too many women being in one particular area. Women prefer to be surrounded by men.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm going to stop you there. What if they're only acting that way because of the masculine-dominated environment that they've been trapped within for millennia?
I'm making my points based on observing their interactions with one another. They will pop out the claws for their other female contemporaries.
Yeah.
It's not as though they are, kind of huddling together and this is a female-dominated environment. Let's make it happen for the girls. You really see the claws can come out, and there's really a dedication towards 24/7 attack mode. And I'm not just talking about in my workplace. I'm saying, as I've seen women collectively come together, they're always on the lookout for the enemy within their own. And I've observed that even among kids. If you put together a group of girls, they really take forever to make a decision when they're playing together about how they're going to handle a particular situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where young boys quickly get to
nanoseconds.
Yes. Well,
there's a back
they'll
and
allow
forth.
Someone to be the alpha, the decision maker, whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the ducks are lined up and they're moving forward.
Yeah, they're just getting to the plan because they're like, oh my God, let's have this really brief conversation. Let's get to the plan.
Exactly.
We're all about that. But you're right. The women will hold court. The girls will go on for minutes.
And it will
and
be...
sometimes they'll fight, and then they end up not... They go the separate ways and never end up playing.
Right. Why does she get to make the decision? I think those people are conspiring against me, and sometimes you're right, because sometimes they are.
It's so weird that we're talking about this, because just this week, my oldest boy asked me, he like scoffed at the idea of a woman being president. And I was like, you can't be like that. There's been lots of women like leaders, man. And I like started going down the line. I'm like, well, Angela Merkel is the president of Germany, and Theresa May is the prime minister of Great Britain right now. They had a woman named Margaret Thatcher in the 80s, and she was called the Iron Lady. And I started extolling the virtues of all these strong women leaders. I went down through South America and Cleopatra and like all these people.
And
I started convincing myself, like, yeah, like maybe all the people crying about Hillary were right.
Well,
we missed an opportunity.
No. There are there are women out there that are outliers, and that's fine. And it's not like they shouldn't be allowed to progress in their careers. But by and large, is it not men who are willing to forego family time, stay long hours, put up with ridiculous travel, the demands of leadership.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you think that that is more in line with a man or with a woman? So this notion that we would all of a sudden surrender to where we've gotten to at this point and go and see how far the estrogen can take us, I think it works against our biology. And ultimately, I don't see that switch getting anything done.
Oh, so humanity would come to a screeching halt, you're saying, if women were in charge.
Close to it.
All right, more chauvinism next. It's Jones and Mike.
Hey, it's Mike. Please go to jonesandmike.com/survey and take the 2-minute survey we've put together for you. Trust me, it'll be the most satisfying 2 minutes you have all week. We are remaking Jones and Mike in your image. But to do that, we need your input on what you like, what you don't, and what we could do differently, more often, and better. It only takes 2 minutes, and the survey you take today could change your life tomorrow. Go to www.jonesandmike.com/survey. Thanks. Very controversial, Jones and Mike. Jones, you're putting forward the idea that if women were running the show, it would not, as this article that I previously referenced says from the mindunleashed.com, it says that the feminine perspective and dominance would actually lead to a collective spiritual awakening and many would become one. Actually, What's our like that Latin phrase? It's on all of our money, e pluribus unum, right? From many one.
Yes.
Well, this article saying that, dude, e pluribus unum. If there's a woman in charge, we would all become one. There would be harmony and peace finally. And you're saying no. They would wreck everything. Civilization would crash.
It would wreck everything. I am saying that.
And that's very brave of you.
Well, here's the thing. Clearly,
you don't have any women in your house.
The idea I don't, but...
These are the words of a man who lives alone.
Well, and maybe I should be in charge. Maybe we're learning that.
Your house runs like a well-oiled machine because there's a man in charge.
Well, and now here's the thing. I am not saying that, and I'm not saying that women do not serve a purpose. But I'm saying when you're talking about a leadership structure and surrender and doing, because what this article is talking about is doing a whole changeover and kind of do that, where it almost seems we're on this path now of men are women and women are men. And we do this turnaround and mm-hmm. see that, oh, well, this is actually the path towards harmony. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, no, this is not the path towards harmony. We're going against our biology. And men, if I'm now going to start taking us to task, we are not holding up our testosterone-esque duties.
Yes, yes. We're shirking them. Now we're taking a back seat for a lot of reasons. One, because it's just easier. Let the wife run the house. Let the wife rule me. Let the wife make the decisions.
It is easier, but it's also now a message that's being put out there by the mainstream.
Yeah, if you challenge it, you're automatically, you know, called names.
Pig.
Totally.
Yes, you are now put into a box from which you shall never crawl out of. But the thing that...
And you got nothing to lose, which is why you're the best spokesperson for this.
I am. I am the best spokesperson for this. I have nothing to lose. I am the zebra that can poke his head out of the pack and have the lions go, oh, we notice him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm willing to make myself the target. And part of the reason I'm willing to make myself the target is over the last few weeks, and really for this year, my own testosterone levels, and I don't know what they are. I am going to go get them. But that has really become a focus of my lifestyle. I have become extremely aware that I've decided that I'm done. I'm done living a life of any kind of giving in to crappy food. Like here and there, at fine at a party. I may have a slice of cake. I may have a beer. But for the most part, I'm letting that lifestyle fall away.
That's right. Dad, those are the trappings of youth. Sleep.
I am focusing on upping my magnesium, my zinc, my vitamin D3.
Okay, wait. And so this is all because of what? Because you've seen dudes around you get paunchy and balding and all of those things? Or wimpy, even?
Yes. And I even started to see that in myself. And I thought, nope, I have to draw the line. I have to just become a different person. When you're younger, you can kind of get away with a duality, you know, going to work out and then staying up till 2 a.m. and eating burritos. But at our age, you can do that no longer. And as I started to take a harder look at testosterone and really start to value it, I've changed everything over in the last few weeks, I felt fantastic. And now with that in my mind, as I'm seeing testosterone vilified in the public square.
Ridiculed. Marginalized.
I can't take it
the
any
longer. The forgotten hormone. The unwanted hormone.
So when I'm seeing estrogen being put up on a pedestal, that's when I have to become concerned. And that's when I feel I have to speak up. Because in my study, I haven't just decided like, oh, I'll take some vitamins, I'll eat better and sleep better, and now I'm going to work out more and stay regimented and blah, blah, blah. I've been studying the value of testosterone.
Right. So this isn't just that you're like, no. Testosterone's still the best. And in other words, you have a scientific basis for what you're saying.
And that's, yes. Okay. And that is what is leading me to this larger global view that testosterone is critical to the survival of mankind. And over the last 20 years, it has been dropping off. And even 20 years before that, so men from the 70s had naturally higher levels of testosterone than in the 90s. And from the 90s to now, it has fallen again. And I do. There could be environmental factors that are factoring into
totally.
This.
Yeah.
But I also am starting to wonder if it is becoming. Men are less masculine now. We don't do natural strong labor, and now we're getting to a point where it's kind of almost becoming taboo if you use masculine dynamic workouts, like just do the elliptical. And why do you have to be such an alpha male? Like that is an insult now known as an alpha male. And you know me, I love sports. I love fast cars, the UFC. It's all great, but I was never particularly alpha male.
But now that
I've been studying this, I'm seeing that testosterone is critical to our survival, not just men, but even, for example, studies show that women are quicker to use a gun when under duress than a man.
Well, okay, wouldn't that just be intuitive because they're smaller, weaker?
What has also been noted in studies is that men with low levels of testosterone are more likely to cheat. And I'm not talking about maritally. Uh-huh. I'm talking about in terms of stealing, in terms of business, like that
Cards.
Level of immoral behavior.
Yeah.
Men with lower levels of testosterone are more likely to do that.
Okay. Really?
Now, yes, even the myth, and this is just something that I just studied and found out about recently, even the myth of roid rage, the idea is that your testosterone is so high, you're lifting so much weight, you're like this complete just muscle-bound maniac jerk.
Right. So the meme they put out there is the more testosterone, the more you just become an irrational killer.
Yes. But what they're finding out in men that take high levels of steroids, not testosterone replacement, but high levels of steroids, human growth hormone, their body produces less testosterone, typically low T, and they become more prone to anger, more emotional, their decision-making is impaired. And
really?
Those are the things that I'm seeing where I go, oh, wow, testosterone really seems to be critical. And it's something that we have higher levels of, that women do have levels of, but barely.
Right.
Comparatively to men. And I'm now starting to see that this difference is critical to kind of keeping things in balance.
So wouldn't that like be, wouldn't that data or that evidence, wouldn't that be impugning the idea of older men as leaders? As you know, because usually generals, presidents, they're older dudes. They're 50 plus always.
Sure.
So maybe the idea of maybe we need to lower the age of the presidency, for example.
No, I think we need to up the masculinity of the current generation, because these tests where they were, some of the research that I was reading where they were charting the men from the 70s to the 90s to now were 50-year-old men, men in their 50s. So this is where they're noticing a more precipitous drop-off from when they're in the 20s to 30s to 50s.
Right.
I'm reading an article. There's a website called The Art of Manliness, and this guy did this 4 or 5 part series on upping his levels of testosterone naturally, how you should work out, supplements and vitamins, and that's artificial supplements, but like vitamins like magnesium, zinc, vitamin D3, getting enough sleep, vigorous, dynamic, powerlifting workouts to raise his level of testosterone.
Yeah.
And he started to talk about all of the things that it improved, his mental acuity. He was quicker. He was more controlled and level. It was a fascinating article, and he went and got his testosterone. He doubled it in 90 days. And when he initially went into the program, his own program where he was creating this, he went and got tested. He was at a level when he started the test where he qualified. He had low T, and he qualified for testosterone replacement therapy. He was 30.
Oh, my God. And did he, like, trace back, like, and these are the reasons why? Like, for example, like, I have been doing a lot of research on this front as well, as you know. And, like, at work, they give you water bottles. There's water bottles everywhere in every fridge. I've gotten rid of all the plastics. Now I drink out of, like, stainless steel cups only.
Glass. Here's the other thing. I make my own food and I bring it to work, but I keep them in plastic containers. Now I'm switching over to glassware.
Right. And because there's BPA, which is, you know, it's like petroleum, right?
Right, but it triggers estrogen.
Right, the BPA in the plastics in your water bottle from the gas station or for at home. We have tons of like plastic bottles and cups here. I'm getting rid of all that because I'm like, oh my God, dude. Imagine if I could keep my sons from going down this gloomy path of low T. I'm assuming that it's affected me because I have felt better since I got rid of the water bottles. Just that one behavioral improvement alone, I think, I saw major strides in just the way I felt. The idea of BPA, you know, it spikes your estrogen. And so I guess you tell me, Jones, from what you know, would that also then, if your estrogen spikes, does your testosterone then conversely decrease?
Yes, because your body converts any ounce of testosterone that you have, there's a particle of it that gets converted into estrogen. Now, if you have more fat cells, higher fat stores, that fat converts more quickly testosterone into estrogen. That even accelerates things. So if you have any kind of weight issues, heavy fat stores, you're becoming an estrogen machine, which when you think about it, women naturally have higher fat levels than men. More fat stores than men, and they're cranking out estrogen.
And that's why we want it. We don't want to breed with no skinny chicks. Like, that's not the men. We've been looking for Rubenesque women throughout history.
Let's not get crazy.
We want hips. We're all ass, man. You can say you're a boob man, but you're not.
Yeah, no.
We're all ass, man. All of us. Because it's hardwired into us. Well, sure. I think
the minority.
Look, we all dig them, but some dudes really dig them more, and then they go, well, I guess I'm a boob man. But it's like, no. We're all hardwired to want hips and ass. Why? Because we want to procreate with them. So this idea of, so when you and I go to concerts, especially Riot Fest here in town, especially when it was in Humboldt Park,
yes.
That seemed more hipster than last year when 2 years ago they moved it to a different place.
Washington Park?
Douglas Park, sorry. Sure.
Right.
So east of the medical district west of the medical district, east of North Lawndale, and in that area, it just didn't seem like it was that same hipster feel for some some reason to me. I don't know why the location would matter, but I really, a few years ago in Humboldt Park, I really was struck by the hipsterness of the crowd, and it was a turnoff where the chicks all looked like beefy guys and all the guys looked like pudgy, pillowy little girly men.
And
that was disturbing.
And doesn't run the gamut of that entire generation, but there is a strong pocket of that where you see it was just a few months ago. I was out having a beer with one of my buddies. And we were at this one bar, and we were surrounded by
young hipster
people.
You would never be caught dead doing that these days.
And I might have. I'm still okay having a beer or two.
Just moderation.
But let's not get off topic here. But we were at this bar having a beer or two, and I noticed, and I said to my buddy, I was like, "Man, have you noticed that all the chicks here are dudes, and all of the dudes are chicks?" And right as I said that, we turned around, and there were these three women that were like aggressive, like women, and they were hip thrusting, like they were simulating like male sexual participants.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Sticking it to somebody, like
whoa,
super aggressive.
Just railing the
and
air.
The men were in skinny jeans with these tight t-shirts, no muscle tone at all, and just like laughing and putting their hands over their face, like, "Oh, you didn't." And I was like, "Oh my God." There was pockets of these men all over the place. In fact, I know, and this just boggles the mind, I know of a millennial, and I'm not going to give too much detail, but I know of a millennial that I see on a regular basis that I see with other millennial friends of mine. Now, this dude he says he's pansexual.
You hang around with someone who says they're pansexual?
I don't hang around with him, but he's an acquaintance. I mean, see him.
Yeah, like if he was referring to the breakfast foods he prefers, I'm fine with that. But what's a pansexual?
A pansexual is they're open to anything, meaning they're into men, they're into women, they're into trans, whatever kind of thing is out there.
Limiting to humans.
Sexually
though.
Fluid. Yes. So anyway, but he's gay. He says he's pansexual. This is a gay man.
Yeah, that's just a cool thing to say now.
I see this guy out in public walking around in the Loop all the time, and he's got a little beanie cap on, and he's thin, and he has a really particular way about him. And I've talked to the other millennial girls at my office, and I've said, okay, he comes to hang out with people from time to time, and he's always talking about all these women that he's having sex with. And he sometimes brings these women around. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to come. I realize I'm a generation away from you guys, but how? How is this happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Because women, even if it's not the incredibly muscular football guy, they like the man to have some level of alphaness. It could be money. It could be a position, an elevated position at work. It could be physicality. It could be intellect and sharp wit, and like a Jerry Seinfeld could be seen as an alpha male that women just love.
Right.
But this guy exhibits none of that. And I really went, I said, look, I'm fine with all of this. Like, I'm pro gay rights, but I want to know how straight women are bringing themselves to have sex with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
what's his secret?
The girls I was talking to, they're like, well, yeah, it's not really my style, but I know plenty of girls where that would be no big deal to them. They actually like that kind of guy.
They like swishy, flabby, little soft, girly dudes.
He's just a gay man.
Maybe he's got an armadillo in his skinny jeans. Is that possible?
But
is the word out on the streets that, like, hey, if they act like they're totally not alpha, it's because they've got a foot down below.
They didn't tell me that, and I gave them the opening to tell me. Because I asked. I said, why? What? I'm from another generation. Maybe I'll never get it, and I'm resigning myself to being the old guy that doesn't get it. So tell me. Yeah. Tell me what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And they really couldn't articulate it. You know, I mean, they were just like, I don't get it, but I do know plenty of girls that see that, and maybe there's just some level of openness.
Oh, is it a challenge? They want to be the one that converts them back over to the good foot.
You know
what is it?
You know what? Actually, you did remind me. One of the girls did say, and here's the thing: the guy, to be fair, is presenting himself as a pansexual, so he is open to heterosexual women. But if you graduated in high school in 1992, like we did, everyone, you and me and everyone we graduated with would look at this guy and go, he's gay. Anyway, ignoring that kind of generational difference, One of the women did say, she goes, well, it's also part of the challenge is, or part of the attraction would be, you know that he's probably more into men, but that there was something about you that he was still willing to choose.
Whoa, my God. I hear is women say, like, there's no good men anymore. Where are the real men at? And then there's like a subset of women who are like, you know what? I'm not even going to bother looking for real men anymore. I'm going for the swishiest guy in the room, actually.
Yes. Yes, that is out there and it's happening.
Dude, that's nuts. That's crazy. All right, so let's get back to this now. This idea that if women were running the world, they would wreck everything. And you gave some evidence, and you even are taking the position, because I just want to get you on the record, because when we are attacked, and we will be attacked, I just want to be able to say, Jones said this. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to know.
Sure.
So you're saying the world not only would be worse off with women, but the dudes that we do have, they have to man up.
I'm going to say this simply.
Yes.
Okay. I have studied.
Be a man, Jones.
And I have learned the value and the importance and the peace and production that can come through testosterone. And men are testosterone-producing machines. That is what matters. Now, the concern going forward is that men have increasingly become...
Yeah, they're abstaining, or they're ceding their rights.
We have become inefficient producers of testosterone. And I am here to say that I am not going to accept that. And I'm going to personally do everything I can to turn that around. And that's now. And I'm also going to verbalize that we need to turn that around. That's what I will say on record.
Okay. And I am with you in that fight. Jones and Mike will link arms in a manly way in this fight. Because society is telling you to suppress your testosterone-ness, your virility, to repress that feeling, and really the everything around us is all about suppressing it, from the foods we eat to the things we do to the way that we are supposed to think and act and talk, and so I want to get more into this regimen that you're doing, because I do the D3, I do the magnesium, the zinc is new to me, but also the sleep is something that I don't even know. I'm hoping that you're going to tell me, dude, if you take the zinc, you'll sleep better, and then it's like two birds with one stone, essentially.
The zinc will help. Exercise will help. A strong diet will help.
Yeah. But I do so many good testosterone things, except for that.
I have also made a critical purchase that has helped my sleep greatly. And my testosterone production.
All right. Jones with the testosterone knowledge next. Jones and Mike. Hey, it's Mike. Please go to jonesandmike.com/survey and take the 2-minute survey we've put together for you. Trust me, it'll be the most satisfying 2 minutes you have all week. We are remaking Jones and Mike in your image. But to do that, we need your input on what you like, what you don't, and what we could do differently, more often, and better. It only takes 2 minutes, and the survey you take today could change your life tomorrow. Go to www.jonesandmike.com/survey. Thanks. Jones, I woke up this morning and immediately said to my wife, I did not sleep well last night. Like, I was tired when I woke up. Like, I know you're tired when you wake up, but, like, I could tell this was, like, a different kind of, like, this was a tired. Like, this is how I felt before I went to bed. Like, I think I just wasted 8 hours or whatever, 9 hours even.
Right? And actually, when you wake up, you aren't supposed to feel tired. You are supposed to wake up and have a feeling of energy. Like, you are supposed to feel energized.
Yeah, and this was like, I didn't have to go to work. I had a full day planned. Like, things I wanted to do. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I don't want to go and talk to that person at work today. That wasn't like, it wasn't like a case of the Mondays.
Right.
So I didn't understand, like, what the hell happened? I had vivid dreams. I mean, I have this stupid dog that wakes me up every night.
See?
But I'm just used to that. And I don't know what to do besides get rid of her.
Here's the thing.
And I mean, I've been having a child wake me up since, like, there was a Clinton in the White House.
Right.
So, like, I've been used to not getting, like, 8 uninterrupted hours. But, like, I don't think I'm sleeping well, and I think that it's probably, it's lowering my T, bro.
A Clinton in the White House?
Oh, you're right. There was a Bush in the White House.
Okay,
sorry.
I was trying to do some math there, and I was like, there's no way.
Been a long time. But so since, like, you know, right after 9/11, I haven't slept since 9/11, just to round it up.
Okay, fair enough. In my studying of testosterone, I have also learned the critical importance of sleep.
Yes.
That's when our body produces testosterone at an accelerated rate, and it allows your body to recover from all the work that you've done the day before, so you can go out there, continue to do that, even do increased levels of dynamic physical exertion. So it's critical that you sleep well. Now, I have had this issue as well. Now, I wasn't really aware that I hadn't been sleeping, but a couple of weeks ago, I had all these problems with my neck and my upper back, my shoulders.
Yeah, well, next to George Washington teeth, you're known for having, like, a funky back and neck and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's been a thing. Now, yeah. I went out to my Facebook peeps, and I asked, hey, any recommendations on the pillow? Is that something that would help me? Blah, 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 blah. I got a number of these suggestions, but someone saw my message, and it was almost like it was kind of a drug deal. They saw my message, but then contacted me via text.
I love when people do that. I love it.
And they said, a couple of weeks ago, I bought my wife this ChiroFlow pillow. ChiroFlow water pillow. And she swears by it. You need to try it, blah, blah, blah. And he did such a strong sell job on it, I went out and I bought this thing. Now, this was before I had even noticed the importance, or studied and found out about the importance of sleep and testosterone, that kind of symbiotic relationship. Dude, I'm telling you, this pillow has been life-changing.
Life-changing.
When I go to bed at night, I look forward. It is like It is like I'm going to spend time with a person. Like, I am aware that I'm getting into bed and I'm going to put my head on this pillow. It is that good.
Like, you draw down the lights, you put on some soft music,
Not even needed. You just get down and get to it.
But it's like a person. It has, like, a personality.
The reason that I say that is I'm thinking to myself, I get to spend time with this pillow. This is my time with the pillow. And I'm not kidding you. I really have that thought. It's a pillow. It's a regular pillow like you would see any other, like any other kind of standard pillow, but it has a small water bladder underneath it. And you can adjust the levels of water. I go with 80 ounces. And from day one, when I've been sleeping on this pillow, I am knocked out cold. If I get up in the middle of the night to go pee, I wake up and I'm like, man, I was out. And then I go right back to bed.
Yeah.
And I'm out again. I've been having the craziest dreams because I'm getting that deep REM sleep.
So it's like back in the 70s, water beds. Like, remember Pepper's water beds?
Right.
Like, they were all over Chicagoland. Like, I don't know if, like, there are even water bed stores around.
Right.
Like, it seems like that went away. And it feels like somebody must have like put out the vibe like, oh, actually, waterbeds are terrible for you.
Well, they are not good for you.
Really?
But the pillow, this is a different thing. It is not a water pillow.
All right. So what's the technology
then? It's just a standard pillow.
Uh-huh.
But it's got the small water bladder underneath it. And what it does is, a lot of times when you're sleeping, and I think a lot of people who have read any kind of sleep studies or heard about any kind of sleep studies, you hear that you can move around and you're shaking around during the course of the night and you wake yourself up without meaning to.
Huh.
Being on this pillow, whichever way you're turning your head, there's a natural counterbalance that kind of just holds your head. It's almost like, have you ever gotten a massage or went to any kind of chiropractor, and when someone like lifts up your head and they're holding the weight of your head, it's just like relaxing.
Oh,
it's just like floating.
The best.
That's
when they
what
wash
this is
my
like.
Hair at Fantastic Sam's.
And if they, yes, if they lift your head at all, and now they're supporting you and it's like your head's floating. That is what this pillow feels like, and that's the principle behind it. So you stay asleep longer.
Does it like lock your head in one position?
No. That the whole idea is it's a regular pillow. The whole idea is it's not changing your body position. It doesn't really work if you're a face sleeper, if you sleep or your stomach sleeper.
Yeah, I don't think that's good for you anyway.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not. It is a. It is.
Like that's something I did when I was a kid, and now I don't think I can even do that for more than a couple of minutes.
No, and it's bad. There's merits to sleeping on your side. There's merits to sleeping.
But
on
one
your
side,
back.
Not the other. Like it's like your left side. It's good for you. Your right side, your heart is in a bad position, I've read.
Yeah, I've heard that, but then I've also heard things that that's not necessarily the case, like the way your body cavities.
No, it's settled structured science. It's settled science,
right,
Jones.
Fine. I know.
Bill Nye said it. He agreed with me.
All right, fine. And we haven't had any snow, so it's global.
Should I go to Snopes.com? Which side is better for you, right or left? Should we let them be the arbiter?
Well, I tell you what, if you want to, go right ahead.
Okay, fine.
But the idea is, you know, this pillow kind of keeps you in the game of sleep longer. And I've had the craziest dreams. Now I have been offering up this pillow to all of my buddies. Like, dude, like all my four, when I went to play
in
that pond hockey tournament. No. I mean, offering it up as a suggestion, like, hey, although actually when I went on my hockey trip a few weeks ago, I brought the pillow with me and I showed the guys, like, check it out. This is how this thing works.
Oh, and awesome. Hey dude, $5. If you want to use my pillow tonight.
Four of the seven guys I skate with bought it.
How much is it?
$60.
And like, what's a normal pillow? It's been like decades since I bought a pillow.
I don't know.
There was a Clinton in the White House the last time I bought a pillow.
Yeah. Well, it can't be much more than 60. It can't be much less than 60.
Really? They're that expensive?
Well, even if they're 30. So what? You pay double and you get a good night's sleep.
Like, that's what makes me feel 80. Like, not much makes me feel 80. But like when I go shopping for things now, I feel like I'm 80 because I'm like, that thing costs what?
Right.
Like,
right.
But today, my old lady wanted to buy like a patio furniture set. And I'm like, they cost what? Between $500 and $1,000 for some, you know, chairs and a table? Are you kidding me? I'm not paying that kind of money. That should be like $80.
Right, right.
But no. I sound like I'm 80.
No, I don't know how much pillows are, but I got to imagine that the Cairo water flow pillow is not that much more. And I'm telling you, dude, it's knocking me out cold. It was so funny. I wanted to talk about this. And you know, a couple months ago, I was like writing down my dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but it's too disturbing to do that now, wake up and then write them down. It was throwing off my sleep, but I had my phone, by my bed, or no, I kind of got up a little bit.
You did?
And I remember, I was like, oh my God, I want to tell Mike about this pillow. And I got up and I spoke into the notes section of my phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, so out of it, I said, and the computer machine wrote, can you review the shocking video? Review the color of yourself.
What?
And then when I looked at it, all I said was review the water pillow and mention new age chakra videos. But somehow it got my mumbledness where it's like, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. Got, can you review the shocking video? Review the color of yourself. But I'm telling you, dude, I am out cold in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I have these, I had a lucid dream where you and I were someplace and I could like I had the force in my hands, you know, like you see in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we were at like some beer garden and I was able to, with the force, pick you up and raise you into the air and then set you back down.
Really?
Yes. Now, I don't know how that relates to the pillow other than I'm getting more REM sleep, but I am telling you, between the zinc, the magnesium, the D3, the workouts, the Cairo Flow pillow and the REM sleep, and my newfound addiction to testosterone, I am feeling fantastic.
Well, right. So now that's the question. Now I want to know for sure, is what you're doing, is it working? Like, so I wish that you would have had a baseline T-test.
I didn't get a baseline T-test, like, although in January...
Can't you do that at, like, can't you go to Walgreens and get, like, a saliva test or something?
Know. Do you really trust those? What I was going to do was, or is, back in January, I went to UIC and I did a weight test, a body fat test.
What's your body fat?
I'm going to talk about it in a few weeks because I'm going to go back. I'm going to go 4 times in a year. I'm going to go quarterly. And I don't want to talk about it until I have another number to play off of. So.
No, because I think that you got to put the pressure on yourself. Like, all right, dude, it was, you know, 19%. Yeah, yours got to be like a low number, right? Didn't you do it years ago? So you kind of have an idea of what.
No, I don't know that I ever did it. Like, really, like I went to a place where they did the test.
So they put like salad spoons on you?
Yes,
stomach.
I did the pinch
stuff?
Test. Yeah, I did the pinch test. They do your, you know, by your boobie, okay. By your stomach.
Oh my God.
By your thigh.
I'm
like
probably like 30%,
thigh.
Like 27%, I bet. Put a number on mine so that when I go and I get the baseline stuff.
I don't know. No, I think you should just go do it. It was like 25 bucks. So I'm going to go do that. I'm sorry. I did do that in January. When I go back in April, I want to talk to them about, like, hey, where's it? Since you guys kind of do this stuff, where's a reliable place to go?
Right.
And maybe even find out if they say, like, you know, Walgreens or whatever is something that would work, you know, for those tests. I don't really trust those tests until I hear from somebody else. And I know just in the next few weeks, I'm going to go back to UIC and do all my testing.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be like something fairly legit where you know, if it's something at home, yeah, that's not going to like give you a lot of confidence. So I was hoping it was like a saliva test. Then you put it in an envelope, like in some solution, you mail it someplace, and then they send you your results a few weeks later. Like that always feels more legit, even though it's probably some dude like in Terre Haute in a double
right.
wide. It's like, oh, so, okay, yeah, you got low T. Here you go.
So we'll see.
Stop drinking out of bottles at work.
I don't have a baseline T test, but I did do early January the body fat and weight and all that stuff.
I want to go and I want to get the T test so I have my baseline, and then I want to say what it is so that I have like a shame factor.
Okay.
But you're not done with that.
No, well, I'd rather just... I would rather just have the results. I'd rather talk about my first quarter.
Of improvement.
I'm assuming improvement. I guess I can't say for sure, but I'm assuming there'll be improvement.
All right.
Although
okay.
I really didn't do... It'll be interesting to see how much improvement there is, assuming there's improvement, because I really got out of the gate slow in the first 4 or 5 weeks because I was having all those neck and back issues.
But yeah,
Since the Super Bowl,
oh my God,
I've been on fire.
The zinc? What does the zinc do, quickly?
No, the zinc and magnesium and D3, those are, as you get older, those levels naturally begin to lower in your system. And you can kind of keep the levels up through diet, but also supplementation will help. And it's those kind of vitamins or ingredients that really help testosterone production.
Okay. Well, and I knew about the D3 and the magnesium. The zinc, I did not know about.
Well.
How did I miss that
zinc
in my research?
Zinc as well, and I think zinc will be critical to me because you really don't get... When you have my diet that has no animal protein, your zinc levels naturally fall off because there's a lot of zinc in animal protein. So the supplementation will help.
All right, right. And that's another reason why I added apple cider vinegar to my routine. Was because that's like an ancient like Chinese thing, and like in fact it's like a Chinese remedy for like impotence is to soak like eggshells in vinegar
and then
crush them up and eat them and stuff. So it's like, wow, man, that's dedication. That's dedication. Because passing those, that can't be fun.
Oh, God. I wasn't even thinking about that.
You know who has too much testosterone? Too much frigging testosterone is Hunter Biden, Jones, in the news this week.
Good Lord. Yeah, that guy.
The man's penis knows no bounds.
That guy needs some estrogen and stat.
What's going on in the Biden house? Creepy Uncle Joe's kids are running off the rails. We'll talk about that next, Jones and Mike. Hey, it's Mike. Please go to jonesandmike.com/survey and take the 2-minute survey we've put together for you. Trust me, it'll be the most satisfying 2 minutes you have all week. We are remaking Jones and Mike in your image. But to do that, we need your input on what you like, what you don't, and what we could do differently, more often, and better. It only takes 2 minutes, and the survey you take today could change your life tomorrow. Go to www.jonesandmike.com/survey. Thanks. Jones, they're dropping like flies. My Facebook friends list is just, it's diminishing daily almost. And I think a lot of it has to do with the politics. The zeitgeist of the day is very divisive. And I don't really, you know, if I see a spade, I call it a spade.
That's so weird though. Why would people unfriend you versus just hiding you?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of that. Like, I don't really hear from people anymore. It's just becoming a very sad place, social media. It's not a very social place, oddly. I lost someone who we knew in high school, you know her. And I didn't really like her in high school, so I'm kind of like, yeah, bafanguya, whatever. You don't like this Trump guy? I say, let's get off his ass. He's not ending wars, which I'm not a fan of, as you know. I want the wars ended. In fact, it seems like he's going to start more wars, but really, let's just get off of it already. I'm tired of the politics. But one person that it remains to be seen if I'm going to lose her or not is my sister-in-law. I called her out by name on Facebook in conjunction with this story about Joe Biden's son. So Joe Biden's son, Bo, died famously of, like, what, brain cancer?
I believe so.
Like, not long ago. Like,
no, about 14 months ago, 15 months ago.
Sure. So, like, you know, you would think, like, the family's still in mourning. And apparently, Bo's wife has moved on. She moved on into the arms of another man, in fact. His brother, Hunter. They're now shacking up. And Hunter left his wife and his kids to be with his sister-in-law. And so on Facebook, I just mentioned my sister-in-law's name and said, like, hey, any chance you'd be down with this? Just joking around, thinking she'd just get a chuckle or whatever. She texted me and said, with love and respect, please remove that Facebook post. And I didn't even get into it. I was on a Stevenson. I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic. I just picked up my phone, right thumb. 2 seconds later, she was gone. And I just went, it's gone. And she went, thanks. And I went, you're welcome. And I went, okay, so now what? Are you angry at me? Like, can't you just take a joke? Jesus Christ.
I don't
Christ.
Think that's a bad joke, actually.
I initially thought of my brother when I saw that story, because he would always joke around like, hey, Bible says if Mike dies, Jill, me and you, we got to get together. Like, he would always joke around like that. I guess I want to know what book in the Bible it says that. Probably Genesis. Genesis was off the rails.
It's so funny, though, that, well, whatever, I guess to each his own. And when you said that, I immediately saw the funny side of it. And I think, moreover, you're pointing out in a very humorous way the absurdity of this situation.
Right.
Now, just think about this.
I mean, I was aroused when I posted it. Like, what if?
Yeah, but did they have anything
What
to
if
do?
My wife died and my sister-in-law shacked up with me? Awesome sauce.
Yeah, I don't think you need that. For arousal.
Yeah, no, the wind blows hard enough and that's it. So Creepy Joe, we've lauded him for his creepiness, his unwavering commitment to being creepy for years now on Jones and Mike. But now his family has transcended creepiness. They're raising it to a new level.
And it really got me wondering about this concept in my own mind of creepy sexual families. Like, you and I have talked about Joe, very weird in terms of his physical interaction with women.
Yeah.
But even when you get away from women, young girls, just the way that he'd be out in public and he would be at some kind of meeting or celebration or photo op, and if there was some young girl there that was being honored or supposed to sing the national anthem, he's there with the hands on their shoulders, or he's brushing softly the tops of her hair and then leaning his face down and whispering something into her face. And these kids are always like staring straight ahead like, oh God, someone step in, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. So he's always been
You can go to YouTube and actually watch a video that's titled Compilation of Joe Biden Being Creepy.
And it's creepy. It is creepy. So now this situation kicks up in his own family where he loses a son. Tragedy beyond imagination.
Totally.
But is now coming out to the world and saying, I've lost a son, and that is a tragedy.
Yeah.
And my other son is now going through a separation with his wife, mother of his three children. But he has now found love, and we support it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Never mind the fact that it's your deceased son's wife.
Yeah, your daughter-in-law.
Your grandkids are looking at their father and going, okay, now we have that. I'm sorry. Is he our father? Is he our uncle? Is Aunt Haley now our mother? Like, can you imagine the wrestling match that has to happen inside of this home? And it has me wondering, like, is this a learned behavior inside the home? Can you learn creepy sexual relationship behavior? I remember this brings me back to a couple years ago. When I used to work at what was before the UFC gym, it was LA Boxing, and they would do boxing and kickboxing classes.
Boy, they got a toughness upgrade with their name when they went from LA Boxing to UFC gym.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
But they used to have some jiu-jitsu classes there. Now, I wasn't taking them. I took a handful, but not many. But I noticed once that there was a mother and son that would take the classes together, and they would partner up.
What?
And I for over a year now, I've been doing jiu-jitsu, and you train with men, you train with women. It isn't really, once you're grappling with someone, it's not as weird as you would think. There's not really this big sexual feel, but.
Yeah, because if you leave a limb exposed, they could like break it.
Yes, and that is part of it.
In panic mode.
Listen, just this week, I was rolling with some girl and there, you know, you got boob and side boob touches there, but it was in the act of grappling and this girl could easily have choked me out. So there isn't that like, oh my God, I'm enjoying this.
Well, no, in fact, you're panicked because you don't want to be the one who gets rear naked choked by a chick.
Right.
Right.
Now with this in mind, can you imagine starting off, like if you're doing some kind of tactical practice or whatever, and you're starting off and the position is you're mounting your mother from behind.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that point you can't.
An aunt maybe, but my mother never.
I guess. So I just thought like that had me going like, can this be within a family? Can creepy sexual behavior like the Sanduskies?
Yeah, man.
Jerry Sandusky,
what a family.
Creepy guy, adopts five kids, apparently by some of these children's admission, molested them. And now one of his adopted sons.
I love how you just branded Jerry Sandusky as creepy guy. He was showering with boys at Penn State. Like, I think the moniker creepy now is lost forever. He's moved on to some other name.
Okay, fair enough. And I'll let you come up with
you
that.
You downgrowed.
Name.
Pedophile. I'll go
pedophile.
With pedophile.
Okay, well now.
That's P-A-E, by
I
the
know,
way. Let's learn how to spell it,
we're
people.
We're kind of, the word creepy is arching over this whole conversation.
Sure.
I did up at a level when I brought in Jerry Sandusky. So creepy pedophile, Jerry Sandusky. And now one of his adopted sons, who I'm only going to assume he victimized, has now been charged with child molestation.
Ugh.
Can there be just a family trait. Like, there's just something about those Hatfield boys. They're just violent.
Yeah.
Could there
yeah.
be something where it's like, there's just something about those Simpson girls. They're sexually creepy. Like, can that be a learned family trait? Because that is beyond creepy for this Hunter Biden to now be shacking up with his dead brother's wife while he's married with his own three kids.
Yeah, that's really the crime of it all. And that's, I searched my memory banks while you were saying that. And the closest thing I can come up with was down the block growing up, the druggie house in my neighborhood, like they weed and like pills. Like, I don't think they were selling heroin, but everyone knew that was the house where people went to go buy their drugs. Right. And so in that house, there was a girl around my age and she was being raised in that house by her grandparents. They owned the house. And the man that she referred to as her brother was actually her father. So, yeah, her brother, years, you know, later, like, so I met her as a little kid, and like in our teens, I was like, what? That's your dad? Like, so that, but again, not even on the same plane as what you're discussing. So I'm assuming that, like, in, you know, when this really goes off the rails sexually in some of these houses, like, you don't even know it, hopefully. Like, hopefully it's not really out in the open, you know, like this.
I'm going steady, and I French kiss.
So everybody does that.
Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best at it.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, little comic relief there, little pedophilia, little child molestation humor from Vacation, an American classic.
Well, did you ever hear, do you remember Terrell Owens? Did you ever hear his story?
No.
About there was a young girl that lived across the street from him, and he grew, as he was growing up, he developed a crush for her. And revealed that to his father.
Oh,
and his father flipped out on him. He's like, don't you, that's your stepsister.
Oh,
and
my
he grew
God.
Up not knowing that the girl across the street from him was also his sister.
Oh, my God.
So you think,
man.
Of.
No wonder he went off the rails and was
yes.
like doing sit-up press conferences on his driveway as
it
an adult.
It can be, I think, sexual creepiness can be a family trait.
Well, so all, yeah, sure, of course, all behaviors, and really, somebody should have reminded me about this throughout the last, you know, 15 years. My kids are always watching, so I should really watch what I say and do, but they're in, for the most part, I don't do anything really all that bad, but I do say a lot of bad stuff around them, and that's destructive. They're aping everything about us as role models. So, yeah, of course, Jerry Sandusky's son's going to grow up to be a little moll. Is there, like, a word for molesters? We need to find that word. And I guess pedophilia, it's not spelled P-A-E. I was, like, giving it, like, a Latin twist there. It is P-E.
Yes.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. I'm always the last to know.
Well, hey, being the last to know. Well, I don't know. I was going to say being the last to know about pedophilia is a good thing, but it could cost you.
Yeah, and I'm always the last to know, I guess, when there's like some creepy sexual stuff going on in the families on my block or, in, you know, in my life. I guess that's a good thing.
We were the last to know about the creepy sexual behavior of America's second family, so.
Yeah, but there was always
the best of us.
There was always something about Joe, dude. Like, you know, it, without a doubt, the guy. The famous shot that I remember was, it was like a senator's daughter who was like 13 or something.
Yes.
And like a young looking, not like, you know, like a buxom 13-year-old, like a young looking kid. And he's like in this photo op, he like starts whispering in her ear.
Yes.
And she has a horrified look on her face. And like the senator and his wife are just like still like happy to be there in the White House. So they're smiling while their 13-year-old, who knows what creepy Uncle Joe's saying to her.
And yeah, and Joe looks like he's brushing up on her like he's ready to collect her.
Yeah, like, you know, he's going to put her in a cage.
Is he a Skull and Bones guy? Is he a Bachelor's Grove guy? That's another episode right there.
Oh, that's several episodes. Is he a Bachelor's Grove guy? That's a good one, Jones. I like that. My sister saw a dude running out in his underwear at like 5 in the morning across Bachelor's Grove Woods Road, the famous gay hookup spot in southwest suburban Chicago. Yeah, she almost hit him, almost killed him. Imagine killing a gay man while he's fleeing the scene.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
Yeah, yeah, really, really. That, when they took that road out, that was a sad day.
For some.